Chapter 6. The Increase of a Cashless Society. The fourth way that modern technology reveals that we're really living in the last days is by the increase of electronic transactions. I'm talking about a global cashless society, and believe it or not, that's exactly what the Antichrist and the false prophet need to have to pull off the last days society and the mark of the beast system in the 7-year tribulation. But don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's.
Revelation 13:11-17. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast on his behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. He ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. He was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that it could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name.
According to our text, there really is coming a day when all the inhabitants of the earth will be under the universal economy or monetary system of the Antichrist himself, right? He's literally going to control all the buying and selling. One day, believe it or not, the whole world will be unified into a one-world economy that is not only cashless, but it's actually satanically inspired. And whether you realize it or not, it's already happening right now before our very eyes. And they've done it in three different ways. The first way they've done it is by connecting all the global economies. Right now, there is already in place the plans for absolute total economic control of the whole world. Unfortunately, for most of us, when it comes to the economy, we don't even know how the thing works. It makes no sense to us. Like these guys share.
ABC News reports, thanks for your time. It's very good to be with you, Brian. Now you are a market economist? Yes, well, most economists are market economists. How do you think things are going at the moment? Well, there is a great deal of international concern. But things will work themselves out. This is what America does. Can you explain to me how it all works? How the economy works? Well, what is the problem at the moment? Well, there is an international credit crisis. Yes, how does that happen? Well, I'm a bank, and I borrow money, and I lend it out. I charge more money to the people I am lending it to than what I pay to the ones I borrowed it from. Who do you borrow money from? From depositors. Brian, do you have a dollar? I borrow your dollar and I pay interest to you on that dollar. But I also charge you fees. But why do you charge me fees? Because I am looking out for your money. Your money is secure with me at my bank. This is a very important amount of money. It's probably your nest egg. It's safe with us. And how much interest do you pay? Probably the same amount as I am charging you in fees. That's not a good deal for me. Well, your money is secure. And then I lend that money to businesses, and those businesses generate income. And they put that income into the bank.
That they do, Brian, and that builds the savings pool so we can invest more money.
Well, who do you lend that to? To the people that need credit, Brian.
You see, money creates more money, so if we can create money to create more money, then we are broadening the economy.
We are expanding it all the time.
Shouldn't people just buy what they can afford? You don't need to afford the things you buy, Brian. You need to afford the interest on the money you need to borrow in order to buy them.
And you are charging high rates for that. I do. We stick the hydraulics under that because it's a slightly high-risk strategy. Do people need to be buying these things? Obviously they think so, Brian.
These things are advertised to people and they are very important and very deeply, deeply attractive.
Who's advertising things that people don't need? The companies that we are lending the money to. Then you bought into the US subprime housing. We are so concerned in building a better Australia. You helped make a worse America.
That was an accident, Brian. What we were doing was investing in the international investment market. And that has been a disaster. Frankly, famously, that hasn't been a huge success.
So, what are you going to do?
Okay, you give me $700 billion immediately.
Why? We need it, the system needs money. The economy is a body, it needs blood to run.
You haven't got it.
No, we haven't got it.
Why not?
We lost it, I've just been explaining that.
You've got mine. But that was the only money I've got.
Now does that sound familiar or what? What a bunch of gobbledygook. But here's my point. Whether we understand it or not, for the first time in man's history our economies are already connected globally. Right now, there's already a universal bank called the World Bank, which is the world's leader of lending money to the nations around the planet. But wait a minute. If you're going to have a universal bank, then you need a universal lending institution to oversee the dispersion of loans, right? Well, what do you think is the function of the International Monetary Fund, which oversees the whole world's financial system and even fixes the exchange rates? But wait a minute. If you're going to have a universal lending institution, then you need a universal money exchanger to funnel all this money to all the different countries, right? Well, that's why right now there's a universal electronic banking system called SWIFT, which automatically makes sure that all the different money transactions in the world match all the different currencies. But wait a minute. If you're going to have a universal money exchanger, then you need to have a universal strong arm to punish those who don't obey this world banking system, right? Well, again, that's why, right now, there's the World Trade Organization, which not only sets the trading rules for the world, but they punish all countries who do not obey with billion-dollar fines. So, as you can see, the machinery for a one-world economy is already here. It's already in place. Not 50 years down the road, it's already here. Now for further proof, this is what all these treaties we keep hearing of are all about. They're all about tying together the world's economies. First, there was the GATT Treaty in 1944. The General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade to Help Liberalize World Trade. Then 50 years later in 1994 we had NAFTA or North American Free Trade Agreement. Then 10 years after that, 2004, was CAFTA or the Central American Free Trade Agreement, combining Central American countries. And then the very next year, 2005, was the FTA or Free Trade Agreement of the Americas, which proposes to encompass the whole Western Hemisphere and their economies, and it's happening all over the world. There's the AFTA, the ASEAN Free Trade Area, or APTA, the Asia-Pacific Trade Agreement, CICE, the Central American Integration System, or other proposed ones like STA, the Central European Free Trade Agreement, CAMESA, the Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, or GAFTA, the Greater Arab Free Trade Area or SAFTA, the South Asia Free Trade Agreement, and even TAFTA, the Transatlantic Free Trade Area, and on it goes. And the latest one out there is called TPP, or the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which President Trump pulled out of, and Obama and Clinton were going headlong into. It encompasses 12 nations in the Pacific area, including Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, Vietnam, and the United States. And now they're freaking out because President Trump pulled out of it.
Fox News reports, at the presidential debate between President Trump and Hillary Clinton, the following occurred. President Trump, your husband signed NAFTA, which was one of the worst things that ever happened to the manufacturing industry. You go to New England, you go to Ohio, Pennsylvania, you go anywhere you want, Secretary Clinton, and you will see devastation, where manufacturing is down 30, 40, 50%. NAFTA is the worst trade deal, maybe signed anywhere, but definitely in this country. But now, you want to approve the Trans-Pacific Partnership. You were totally in favor of it, then you heard how bad it is, and you said I can't win that debate, but you know that if you did win, you would approve that, and that would be almost as bad as NAFTA. CBSN reports, we take you to the White House where President Trump has spent his first full week in office. He has signed three executive orders today, with one withdrawing the United States from the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
In other words, he kept his promise, unlike the other elites who wanted us to go along with this global treaty, TPP. Why? Because these global trade agreements are what they need to create a global economy for the last day society and the mark of the beast system in the seven-year tribulation. And it's happening now right before our very eyes, which means we're living in the last days. But that's not all. The second way they've implemented a global cashless society is by connecting all global commodities. Now, what I'm talking about here is the connecting of all actual products that people are going to be buying and selling all over the planet, now and in the 7-year tribulation. Let's go back to our text.
Revelation 13:16-17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name.
So here we see that the false prophet and the Antichrist are not only going to have a global economy that they are going to control all over the world, they will also be controlling all the products people are buying and selling all over the world. You might be thinking, well, how in the world are you going to do that? It's one thing to connect all the economies on the planet, but how do you connect every single product that people buy and sell on the planet? Can you say modern technology? They're already using modern technology to connect literally everything on the planet. All things, all people, you name it. First, they built the matrix that ties all the portals to get these products to all these people over the world. It's called the internet. And think about it. This new invention which was developed in our lifetime now connects all information, all knowledge, all forms of media, and even all finances, including what we buy and sell. The key word there is net, because I believe the net is closing in on us. It's not just in existence right now, but they've already, in just a few short years, got us conditioned to using it, accepting it, and relying upon it for almost all of our needs, including financial needs. You can buy online, you can sell online, you can bank online, you can do all your studying and research online, you can shop online, you can watch TV online, you can register online, you can make your appointments online, you can do just about anything and everything online. Everything is going online. Have you noticed the matrix they've built? Now here's the point. This giant matrix system is not only connecting the information, including financial information, all over the world, it's also being used to connect all products to all the people all over the world. And that's being done right now through the new 5G network.
Tom Chitty, CNBC, reports that is 4G, the new mobile network used around the world to make calls, send messages, and surf the web. Now there are plans to replace 4G with, you guessed it, 5G. A new faster network that has the potential to transform the internet. 5G is a software-defined network. It means that while it won't replace cables entirely, it could replace the need for them. Largely operating on the cloud instead. It means it will have 100 times more capacity than 4G, which will dramatically improve internet speeds. For example, to download a 2-hour film on 3G would take about 26 hours, on a 4G you would be waiting about 6 minutes, and on a 5G you will be ready to watch your film in about 3.6 seconds. But it's not just internet capacity that will be upgraded. Response time will also be much faster. Our 4G responds to our commands in just under 50 milliseconds, the 5G will respond in about 1 millisecond, 400 times faster than a blink of the eye. Smartphone users will enjoy a more streamlined experience. That for a world that needs the internet just to function. A reduction in time delay is critical. Some experts predict that by 2020 nearly half of the internet users in the US will be 5G, a greater percentage than any other country or region.
In other words, this new 5G network is going all over the world very soon. And you might be thinking, well, so what? What's the big deal about having faster internet downloads, speeds, and times? I could care less. Well, you should care more because this will enable them, for the very first time in man's history, to create what's called IoT or the Internet of Things, where all products and all people can be connected to this global matrix. Through microchip technology embedded in every single product and person, that is then connected to the global 5G network internet system. It will allow them to connect every single product and every single person on the face of the earth all at the same time continuously in a non-stop monitoring system they say will lead to a life beyond your wildest dreams. Here's just one video promoting it. The new Internet of Things.
What is the IoT, the Internet of Things? It makes life more simplified with cloud-based automation. When you come home, your garage door opens for you automatically. You walk into your kitchen in the morning at 7 a.m., with a flick of your hand when you add sensors with open door alerts, a notification comes on that the bathroom is occupied and someone is in the shower, and it sets the temperature of the shower. In the other bathroom, the daughter just walks in and the lights come on. when going into the refrigerator, a notification comes on of what is in the refrigerator. A list of the inventory. Then when it is time to replace anything, it sends a notification that it is time to go to the store. The music is set all through the house in case someone is late getting up, a great alarm clock. When it's time to go to work, you are safe because you are sent a notification of the vehicle diagnostics to let you know the condition of the car. If you are low on gas, if the tires need air, or if all is okay. A notification will be sent to you to leave early so you can stop to get gas and you won't be late for work. The system will also send you a notification if there are any toxic fumes in the garage and to open the doors. Whoops, someone got something out of the refrigerator as they were running out the door. The door didn't close completely, so a notification goes out that the door is open. IoT knows when everyone is gone, and it adjusts the thermostat to be more energy efficient. When you get to work, IoT automatically turns on your computer, opens the window shades, and notifies you of any meetings that you need to be attending. When driving down the street, IoT will tell you if you are going too fast. It also keeps track of your children and monitors where they are at all times. IoT will notify you when someone is at your front door and if they are supposed to be there or not. You have the option to say yes or no for the gardener or pool man. When the family members are in the yard, IoT controls whether the sprinklers are to come on or not. Also, it keeps score while kids are playing ball in the backyard. IoT will tell you when your garden doesn't have enough water in the soil and will identify anyone at the front door to see if they are approved to enter the house or not. At the end of the day, you can depend on IoT to lock all the doors and turn out all the lights so you can have a peaceful night.
Wow. So, everything is microchipped and connected to this global matrix. Who wouldn't want to live in that paradise, right? Yeah, right. Who wants to be a rat, is what's going on. Your smart home is connected with your smart car that connects to your smart office and smart watch and smartphone and all your smart devices, including your smart appliances, even smart shoes that monitors you, your family, your health, and everyone's every move. It's paradise. It's wonderful. No thank you. What it leads to is a life of slavery and constant monitoring. I mean, gee, what's next? A smart chip you put in your hand or your head just in case you lose your smart watch or smartphone and get disconnected, heaven forbid, from this giant matrix system you built. Yeah, that's exactly where it's headed, pun intended. Which leads us to the third way they've implemented a global cashless society is by connecting all global currencies. Once again, let's go back to our text and pull out another nugget.
Revelation 13:16-17. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name.
Now think about it, it's common sense. If the Antichrist and the false prophet are going to pull off this one world economy system and the mark of the beast system, you are not only going to have to combine all the world's economies into one system, and you not only have to combine all the world's products into one global matrix system to control all the buying and selling, but you have to combine all the currencies into one, right? In other words, they have to, at some point, make the money around the world electronic or cashless, right? Why? Because as we saw, he controls all the buying and selling with a what? A mark in the right hand or forehead, right? And so, this tells us it has to be some form of electronic payment system. Because you don't tape a dollar bill to your hand to make a payment here in this passage, or slap 20 bucks on your forehead to pay for your groceries. Obviously, you've got to have some sort of electronic capability to make a financial transaction with the mark of the beast system either in your right hand or forehead, right? It's common sense. It's right there. And so, here's the point. Good thing we see no signs whatsoever of us ever going to some sort of cashless system even here in the US, let alone around the world, that enables us to make electronic payments with our body parts. Ah, yeah, it's already here. For the first time in mankind's history, we have already, slowly but surely, been conditioned to move into a cashless society, something that the Bible predicted would come in the last days, in the 7-year tribulation. And let me show you how fast it sped up just in our lifetime.
The concept of currency ultimately boils down to trade. As far as historians know, barter economy was the only form of trade until 3000 BC, when the shekel started being used as the first standard unit of currency. Money as we know it today started taking shape around 600 BC, when the first national currency was created.
Coins were standard in civilizations around the world. Until the Jyotsi printed the first paper backed by gold, silver, and silk. Paper currency was lighter and more convenient to carry. In the Middle Ages, the concepts of banking and commercialized debt emerged. While lending occurred throughout history, Italian merchants started turning a profit by financing the sea voyages of other traders. In the centuries that followed, the Industrial Revolution allowed people and ideas to move more freely, and moving the money wasn't far behind. Money wires made it smoother and easier to send money across the world. Lending took on a new, more convenient form when the Diners Club began giving out credit cards to be used at multiple locations, unlike the single-store cards before that. The advent of the internet with digital payments, like online transfers and e-commerce, in the last 20 years our phones have become extensions of our wallets. Even to this day, money continues to evolve. In 2008, anonymous coders released Bitcoin, the first decentralized virtual currency on the internet.
Ooh. There's the internet and there's your electronic currency. But notice how currency didn't change for the longest time until the 50s, when we saw the birth of the card instead of a cash payment system. It's all going down in our lifetime. In the last century alone, we have gone from paper currency to electronic cash, and it's happening very fast. For instance, if we didn't have any money on us, don't worry, just write a check. Then if we didn't have the money to write a check, don't worry, just charge it to a credit card. But if we didn't want to pay the interest on a credit card, don't worry, just take it out of your checking account with a debit card. And then not long after that, debit card spending overtook cash, which led to all these features being combined into one card called a smart card. That's a card about the size of a regular credit card, only this one has a tiny microchip in it that can store and receive information and make financial transactions as well. And then, all these convenient payment features were transferred to another microchip device that everybody on the planet carries around in their hands, called the cell phone, to buy their stuff with. And so much so has this step-by-step conditioning process worked, that even here in America, we are now basically a cashless society.
NBC News reports, when Brian Kimmel gets ready to go in the morning, cash is not in the equation. Brian Kimmel, I think the last time I went to an ATM was 2 years ago. NBC Nightly News, she streamlined to credit cards only. Cash she feels is inconvenient and dangerous. Brian Kimmel, there are a lot of times that I feel if I had cash on me, I would feel a little bit anxious. NBC Nightly News, between 2000 and 2013, non-cash payments grew by almost 400%. Brian Kimmel, I haven't really needed cash, to be honest. It's either my credit card, or if I'm out with my friends I will use Venmo. NBC Nightly News, the mobile app where people can pay each other on a smartphone now processes $2 billion per month. This year Apple added similar payment capabilities on iMessage. These free services are so popular that 30 major banks launched a similar competing product called Zelle. Doing away with paper money has been a big boom for small businesses. TRT World News reports, Washington's family-run deli Bozzelli's has been in business for 5 decades. At their newly opened downtown location, they have taken a radical step to remain competitive. No more cash. If you want to eat your lunch here, you have to pay with plastic.
In other words, no cash accepted in the United States of America. We're going cashless, right before our very eyes, in our lifetime, just in time for the 7-year tribulation. And it wasn't just individuals preferring this, but businesses demanding it. But you might be thinking, well, that's all good and all, but that's just the United States. There's no way the whole planet is going cashless, are they? Yeah, they are. In fact, so much so, that much of the world is further along than we are, including Sweden, who is now only 1% cash transactions in their whole country. 99% of all transactions are electronic.
In Sweden, almost all transactions are done digitally. Notes and coins are gone, and Sweden is leading the race to become the first cashless society. Patrick Jenkins, financial editor, Financial Times, Sweden is becoming the king of the card. There's not much you can't buy these days with a card. In fact, many stores don't take cash at all. On the street, he asked some passerbys, "When was the last time you used cash?" She answered, "The last time I used cash was maybe last year. In the summer." Lucas Berg, CEO, Insight Intelligence, "People talk about when will we be cashless. For me, I have believed in a cashless society for 5 years. I haven't used cash for 5 years. Tomas, Swedish church member, Uppsala, the banks, they have stopped handling cash. Ali Withers, NBC Left Field, Sweden has become one of the cashless places in the world. So much so that banks will not handle your cash. In fact, it's hard to find any business that will take cash. You have to pay with a card or a mobile app on your phone. The most common is Swish. Only about 1% of cash is used in Sweden, and at the present decline it can be completely cashless by 2025.
In other words, for the first time in mankind's history, a whole country will be completely cashless in just a few years' time, right on time for the mark of the beast system in the 7-year tribulation. In fact, so much so that this cashless society is catching on globally and many other countries are following Sweden's lead. They too are going cashless, including seemingly insignificant countries like Peru and Nigeria.
CBS This Morning reports, the day of overstuffed wallets in your back pocket or purse might be coming to an end by 2020. Mobile wallets in our smartphones are expected to surpass the use of credit and debit cards in the US. It has already happened in China. Ben Tracy is in Beijing to show us what a cashless society actually looks like. Ben, good morning. Ben Tracy, when I moved here a couple of months ago, I would get funny looks every time I would pull cash out of my wallet to pay for things. Then I got one of these. A code on my phone, and now I can buy just about anything here in China. Ben, on the street, when you pay for something, how do you pay for it? On the streets of Beijing, cash is definitely not king. What do you think of people that pay cash for things? He answers, that is rare and weird. Only the elderly and people who don't know how to use a phone pay cash. CNBC at S-Jules 9 reports, if you were looking to buy coffee a year or so ago here in London, it might have been normal to ask, do you take cards? Now it is becoming more frequent, do you take cash? Ross Brown, Browns of Broccoli, we probably have customers in here now that don't even know that we don't accept cash because they just tap their card and go. CNBC at S-Jules 9, Ross stopped accepting cash at his London cafe more than a year ago after a trip to Sweden. He said paper money was nowhere to be found. Global Business reports, from groceries to bus fare to fuel, you don't get far without a handful of cash. Have you ever imagined a world without cash? It just takes these, cards, and this, cell phone. A company in Tanzania believes that we should all be paying with digital payments. The challenge right now is that hardly any Tanzanians have bank accounts or credit cards. A bit do have mobile money. Jones is one of the group of campaigners that say mobile money would give East Africa the unique opportunity to get ahead of the rest of the world. CCTV American reports, only 29% of Peruvians have bank accounts, one of the lowest uses of financial services in Latin America. To bring in people, you have to look at their uses in their everyday life. They found that no matter how humble the person or remote the area, cell phones were ubiquitous. Mobile phones are a great leveler in Peru. At least one for every person in the country. Most people use prepay, where you go and shop, and credit over the counter. An e-wallet works in much the same way. You don't need a smartphone to send and receive money. In fact, you don't even need a bank account, just a 4-digit key. Akiko Fu NBC reports, if you walk around Delhi, you see digital cell phones payment platforms everywhere. Samsung, American Express, Novia. The number of digital transactions in India have quadrupled since last year. Welcomed by the government to reduce India's reliance on cash. The Prime Minister of India pulled nearly 90% of their money out of circulation last year, and this has proved to be a big boost to India's digital economy. Vietnam News, January 2017. Vietnam's deputy prime minister has signed a policy to dramatically reduce cash transactions by 2020. The policy aims to turn Vietnam into a cashless economy and change the payment habits of the Vietnamese. It seeks to reduce cash transactions to less than 10% in all supermarkets, malls, and distributors by 2020. DW News, paying without cash is fast becoming the norm. I pay even tiny amounts with my card, says one man passing by. A lady tells us, it's just easier. It's easier, another one tells us. will cash soon be a thing of the past? When I think about it, I pay more without cash than with. Around the world, financial corporations, politicians, and leading economists are working to do away with cash. I see a future where you will be able to hold digital euros, digital dollars, directly at the central bank. Who stands to profit from a world without money? And who will be the losers?
Well, let me answer that for you. The losers will be those people who rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and got left behind at the rapture. And thus, they were thrust into the horrible 7-year tribulation, and will have to deal with accepting or rejecting this mark of the beast cashless payment system and being sent straight into hell. But the winners, of course, will be the Antichrist and the false prophet who are working so feverishly, as you can see behind the scenes, all over the world, in our lifetime, as we sit here, putting this whole system into place. In fact, this is so obvious that this sudden push for a cashless society around the world is part of the prophesied mark of the beast system warned about nearly 2,000 years ago. Even the news is picking up on it. These guys aren't even Christians that I know of.
RT News reports. Many economists believe the future will be cash-free. You are already seeing it everywhere you go. At your baseball game or your local deli. Now Sweden is getting there faster than anywhere else, according to a New York Times report. And 4,000 Swedes have a microchip implanted in their hand so they can pay for products with just the wave of their hands. Makes the Apple Watch look obsolete. So, on top of that, many Swedish companies are asking their employees to get this implant to pass through access points and to pay for conveniences. Now the red flag starts going up. So, now for our red flag analyst, Lionel. Lionel, thank you for joining us. I know you have something to say about this red flag, and I feel like I am reading out of the book of Revelation. So, what comes to you about the humans microchipping themselves? Lionel, it's the mark of the beast. I'm no biblical scholar here, but it's amazing, the parallels made. Now listen, let's get down to brass tacks. I wish they would stop this. We are going cashless. We've been cashless. Where's this cash? Have you ever bought a house with cash? Or a car? I don't know where this comes from. I have a couple of bucks. We've been cashless. But that's not the issue. One of these days these kids, I think you call them millennials, they are going to take these little VA chips, about the size of a grain of rice, and they are going to be cool. Oh, they are going to be waiting in line overnight to get implanted. And they are going to say, look at this, I can go to the drugstore, I can call a cab, how cool am I? Look, I have this little embedded chip, and they will say they have medical records. They are going to do this to grandma or grandpa in case they have some kind of dementia, they're walking off. After all, we have it for our dog, why not for humans? On star for human beings. But here's the catch. One of these days when they find you guilty of something, and you go before a court, and they say we are going to sentence you. To prison. No, we're going to turn your chip off and you don't exist.
In other words, you can no longer buy or sell. Where have I heard that before? Even the secular news can put two and two together. Step by step we have been conditioned, yet how many Christians even know about it? But notice how they also mention how the Swedes have already jumped from the cashless system to the implant system, so now they're paying with a wave of the hand with a microchip inside of them. What do you think that is? We'll get to that in the next chapter. But that's precisely why, out of love, God has given us this update on the final countdown, tribulation rising concerning modern technology and the AI invasion, to show us that the tribulation is near and the second coming of Jesus Christ is rapidly approaching. And that's why Jesus himself said,
Luke 21:28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near.
People of God, like it or not, we are headed for the final countdown. The signs of the 7-year tribulation are rising. Wake up. If you're a Christian today and you're not doing anything for the Lord, shame on you. Get busy doing something for Jesus now. Stop wasting your life. We need you. Don't sit on the sidelines. Get on the front line and help us. Let's get busy working together, doing something splendid for Jesus with what time is left, and get busy saving souls. Amen? But if you're reading this today and you're not a Christian, then I beg you, please heed these signs, heed these warnings, give your life to Jesus now. Because this cashless payment system won't lead to a life of convenience or a great joy, it'll lead to great sorrow and hell. Don't fall for the lie. Take the way out now, the only way out now, through Jesus Christ, before it's too late. Amen?